How do John's famous words, "the Word became flesh," help us understand John's gospel? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is the Concordia Commentary on John 1:1 through 7:1. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or check it out at issuesetc.org. This new commentary covers the first six chapters of John. The Concordia Commentary on John by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Bill Weinrich.
Jesus is a good cure for fear. God gives believers the power, the love, the sound mind required to conquer any fear.
The current culture that we're in is that there's an increasing squeeze to try to squeeze physicians who have a conscience out of the practice of medicine.
Be the person God made you to be and fulfill your vocation as you. I mean, you have the same word of the same Lord that Luther had. So be faithful to him.
So our hearts are with Jesus when his word is in our ears, on our minds, and on our tongues.
New dads might get some of the issues of prayer.
This is certainly not the first time that we have heard and actually watched this feminist myth make major changes in American culture, society, thinking. The very base way that we think, the very kind of the ground underneath our feet has been changed in a lot of ways by a myth that really has a lot to do with, well, a word that sounds great, doesn't it? Equality. But it is a myth. And now we're seeing that myth work its way into the ranks of, literally into the ranks of our military, as our military leaders discuss the question not only of women in combat, of whether or not women of the proper age ought to be conscripted into selective service, that is, signed up for the draft. Now, we haven't had a draft, but we have had a selective service, which is the next step away from it. And this concerns a lot of people, not only because of what may happen here to our young ladies, but also what it's going to do to our society, because the myth has not wrought good changes. We'll be talking about all of that here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Hans Feeney will be our guest to talk about women in combat and the selective service a little bit later. We'll spend some time with Scott Fishbach, Executive Director of Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life. We're going to talk about abortion worldwide, kind of a global perspective on abortion, something we don't very often do. Dr. Joel Olowski will join us after that. Valentine's Day is coming up. The church remembers St. Valentine's on Valentine's Day, but in a different way than everyone else. We'll talk about the real St. Valentine with Dr. Joel Olowski. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review another Coen Brother movie, Hail Caesar. This one actually, according to the trailer, looks like it might be a funny one. And then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us for Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Deuteronomy 26, Offerings and First Fruits and Tithes. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program with your questions or your comments. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, go ahead and use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about women in combat and the selective service, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column there titled Women Don't Need to Get Drafted to Be Equal with Men. Hans, welcome back to Issues Etc.
That's good to be back.
This myth of equality, tell us how it's usually presented, and then give us some examples before we get to women in combat and women in the draft, of how it has wrought major changes in American society.
Yeah, well, I think kind of at the from the get-go, it really kind of starts with a different worldview than really that the one that the Bible gives us. So the biblical worldview is really much more rooted in the idea of family. So the idea that when you come into this world, you belong to other people. So you belong to your parents. That when we get married, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. So you leave your parents and then you belong to your wife. And because The biblical worldview is all about your connection with other individuals or with other people. It's very much rooted in the idea that you kind of come into this world with a vocation of being male, a vocation of being female, vocation of being a son or a daughter, things of this nature. The worldview I think that feminism comes out of is a much more, is kind of what I would call a self-deterministic worldview. It's much more individual. So it's the idea that you exist as an individual. You only belong to other people insofar as you choose to allow yourself to belong to them. And so it's the idea that kind of everything in your life is about you determining for yourself what you want to be and who you want to be. And so while the kind of more biblical vocational worldview would say, well, you as a man have certain responsibilities because these are in accordance with how God created you, and being a woman gives you certain responsibilities, so God makes men stronger so that they're able to protect their families. God gives women the ability to have children, so they have a greater responsibility for nurturing, things of this nature. The worldview that feminism kind of comes out of says, no, you get to determine for yourself. So if you don't want to be nurturing, you don't have to be nurturing. If you want to do the types of work that have historically been reserved for men, you should be able to do that. So it kind of belongs to a, sort of a school of thought that we oftentimes call egalitarianism, which is the idea that everyone has to be equal. So if a thing exists, everyone should have the right to be that thing if that person determines for himself or herself that they want to be that. And so any hindrance that kind of prevents that from happening needs to be taken out of the way. So one of the main ways in which kind of this feminist mindset has really changed things is, for example, just on the issue of procreation and having children, and really at its heart what it means to be a woman. So the idea that you would be a mother is, in this mindset, that's something you choose for yourself, and if you don't want it, it's just as good and valuable to be something else, to be an employer, to be an employee, or whatever it may be. So the idea kind of comes along that because you're able to determine for yourself what it is that you want to be, that women are therefore prevented from being equal if they are not free to act the exact same way that men do. So men's careers are generally not sort of changed as much when they have children, so women should be able to have careers that are equally unchanged as men. Men have a much easier time, just biologically speaking, of walking away from their offspring if they don't want to raise them, if they don't want to be responsible for them. Obviously, not that that's a good thing. But feminism kind of said, no, women should be able to be men in that regard. So if a woman doesn't want to have a child, she should have the right through abortion to be able to be equally as unaccountable for that offspring as a man would be.
So it sounds like it really kind of expresses itself, although if you point it out to a thoroughgoing feminist, they're going to deny it, that if a woman wants to be equal, wants to be to live up to her potential, she needs to be as much like a man as possible.
Right, yeah, that's exactly it. It's the idea that it conflates equal responsibilities with equal worth. So in other words, it would say that if women can't do the same things that men do, that women are therefore less valuable than men are. So when it comes kind of to this idea of things like combat, it says, well, if women are able to kind of meet the physical standards, and there are even some who will say, well, you got to change the physical standards so that women are able to meet them so that they can be more equal than kind of nature will allow them to be. This is kind of the funny thing about it, is that there's always this presupposition that it's just mean patriarchal men who are holding women back and they need to get out of the way. And then when it turns out, well, it's just nature and biology that's holding women back and preventing them from being able to do these things, you will still kind of get some who will come along and say, well, then you need to get that out of the way too and sort of change the standards so we can sort of set up the illusion of equality. So yeah, it's kind of the way these things go. It's basically the idea that unless a woman has sort of an equal existence as a man, then therefore she's inferior.
Well, there are two issues that we're talking about here. One of them is women in combat, and you've mentioned a big facet of that already. Laying aside all of the other concerns that the military, at least until recently, seemed to have about women in combat, those all seem to have disappeared recently for some reason. The question you raise, the question of training, of just raw physical prowess, which the standard for training, the standard for kind of the physical qualification of men who fight is there for a reason, because the enemy won't lower the bar for you.
Right.
You know, the enemy isn't going to give you a second chance. You have one chance to get over that wall, sometimes literally, to save your life or your companion's life. And the enemy isn't going to say, wait a minute, back up, try it again. In lowering those standards in order to accommodate not the weakness of women, but just the different physical makeup of women, aren't we forgetting what the role of the soldier is about altogether?
Yeah, I think the reality is a lot of this is, I think this has become an issue because people don't think that war is real. It's sort of like the same thing I oftentimes see with the question of whether or not women are able to be pastors, which kind of indicates to people that people don't really believe that spiritual warfare is a real thing and that the devil is actually trying to destroy the church. I mean, if we lived in a world where pastors were routinely murdered by pagans who were storming into churches and putting them to death, or if we lived in a world where pastors were having to stay behind while everyone was getting the plague and dying, while everyone who was healthy fled, you know, out of the kind of the danger zone, the infection zone. I don't really think we'd be having an argument as to whether or not women should be able to be pastors. And I think this is a similar thing. It's not that war isn't real in the world. It's just that most people don't really have any exposure to it. It kind of exists in some sort of weird fantasy land where they know it's a thing and they know that people are honored for military service, but they don't realize kind of the horrors of it. And so I think what happens, and you kind of combine that with the fact that you know, people grow up in this fantasy world where they watch movies, you know, where 105-pound actresses are, you know, beating up guys with the best of them, and creating this sort of fantasy that just, it's simply sheer willpower and determination that somehow enables girls to kick butts and do the same kind of activities as the men. And then all of a sudden they get into the real world and they find things don't actually work that way. And so there's almost this kind of frustration at reality for getting in the way. It's like I said before, that there's sort of this presupposition that the reason women haven't been able to be soldiers is because mean, patriarchal men were being sexist and not letting them do what they're perfectly capable of doing. And then it turns out that nature itself is preventing them from being able to do that. Yeah, and as you say, it's not as though the enemy is going to turn around and say, well, because you're being so enlightened and allowing women onto the battlefield, I guess we should do that too to make it a fair fight.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about women in combat and the selective service. He has written an article for The Federalist titled Women Don't Need to Get Drafted to Be Equal with Men. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. More with him after this. Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I remember being an evangelical and always listening to these prophecy buffs, and I always think to myself, I've really got to study prophecy, but who could do it? I mean, it was just a tangled mess.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
You had the newspaper in one hand, and you had the Bible in the other, and you're trying to, you know, it's like a gigantic theological, geopolitical crossword puzzle. Who knows what's up and down? The Bible is much simpler and much more joyful when it comes to the promise of the second coming.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the biblical case for the end times Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, February the 11th. We'll talk about women in combat and the Selective Service. Pastor Feeney, one of the other concerns that I think we have here, and this goes to both women in combat and the Selective Service, I've seen a lot of people since the kind of the military brass have been changing their minds on this and supporting the idea of Selective Service for women. People saying, look, not my daughter. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make her go sign up for it. It just isn't going to happen. There is something about this, both those issues, that would require men to be diminished in their natural role to permit women to, say, pick up a gun and go defend them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, in kind of previous incarnations of the feminist movement, what we've seen is certain women saying that in order to be equal, women need to have this opportunity for something. But in this, we're kind of having an instance where there's sort of going to be the potential that they'd be forced into it, which is a much more frightening thing. So it's kind of like, you know, when women complain that there aren't enough female CEOs, and most women kind of go, well, that's not really a job I'm interested in having because I want to have time to spend with my family, which is also what most men say about that. You know, no one's kind of coming along to force them to be CEOs to make things equal. But in this, you have the issue of force, and in the event that a draft is reinstated, that certainly is going to be an issue where you would most likely have a lot of men. I don't personally have daughters, but I would certainly be in this camp if I did, who would say, absolutely not. This is not what God has created my daughters to do. It's my responsibility to ensure that my daughters are kept safe, not put onto the battlefield. There are a lot of people who certainly would not take this lying down.
Then, just your thoughts on what may be a corporate, that is, in other words, a churchly response to the idea of conscripting young women into the military for combat.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, there is certainly precedent in pacifistic church bodies, such as the Quakers and the Amish and things of that nature, where their men have been exempt from draft in previous generations when the draft has been around because they've had a sort of an overall rejection of warfare. I think what we're looking at now is it's probably good for church bodies such as ours and others who believe similarly, who say, well, it's not so much that we object to the concept of war unilaterally. We're not pacifists, but we do believe that there are certain ways in which war cannot be justly fought. And so that it is a violation of natural law. It's a violation of what we believe the distinctions between men and women are. To take our women and to place them forcibly on the battlefield. And hopefully that would be an instance in which the United States government could certainly recognize that we would have a kind of a narrower understanding of a conscientious objection.
So how are you going to deal with this, real quickly here with about 30 seconds, how are you going to deal with this in your congregation when the issue comes up? What are you going to say in a nutshell about this?
Well, I've talked about this quite a bit, and it really doesn't seem to be a huge issue. I think people understand this. I think one of the simplest ways that I try to explain this to people is to just say, look, if a man breaks into your house in the middle of the night, whose job is it to go downstairs and check things out and make sure everyone's safe? So a man who would send his wife or his daughter downstairs is a man that we would rightly call a coward. And since Martin Luther explains in the Large Catechism in the Fourth Commandment, and basically says quite simply that the state is just simply the extension of the family, that we recognize that we, as a collection of families in this nation, have a responsibility to ensure that we protect our wives and our daughters and our neighbors' wives and daughters the same way, that men take up the responsibility of protecting, and that we are the ones who have been called, in a Christ-like example, to lay down our lives for our wives, and that their responsibility is to make is to be worthy of that defense.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column there titled Women Don't Need to Get Drafted to Be Equal with Men. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.